This is the fourth day of voting in Afghanistan's first presidential election, not the fourth day of voting, but the fourth day of counting the vote. Ballots so far have come in from all but five of Afghanistan's 34 provinces. With around 17% of the votes counted, interim President Hamid Karzai has a comfortable lead. Problems that arose on election day 9 days ago are still unresolved, however. In some cases, supposedly indelible ink used to stain people's fingers to prevent them from voting more than once was, in fact, very easy to remove. The issue is before a three-member independent panel set up to investigate voting irregularities. Also, Karzai's chief rival, Yunus Kanuni, who trails Karzai by nearly 50%, contends there was cheating before, during, and after the election. Joining us now to tell us more about these developments is NPR correspondent Ivan Watson. He's in Kabul. Ivan, good to have you.
Hi there, Neil.
Right after the election, Yunus Kanuni and several other candidates claimed a voting fraud had occurred, but then they withdrew those claims pending the outcome of this investigation by an independent panel. Has the panel wrapped up its findings?
It has not. It hasn't published any findings yet. And in the meantime, a number of those people who objected to the elections, who raised the issues of voter irregularities, they have since backed down from their claim that they would declare the election null and void, and they have agreed to go on with things. However, again today, as you mentioned, Yunus Kanuni raised more objections. He said there was more evidence of tampering at the ballot boxes. And once again said that there had been a fair amount of cheating. He raised these allegations. No real response yet from the United Nations, which helped bankroll this whole election.
And who's on this independent panel? Is it Afghans or is these outsiders?
They've brought together a three-member investigatory panel. They have somebody from the United Nations. They have an independent observer. And it did seem to satisfy some of the objectors to the election when there were the initial reports of allegations of problems. However, they did initially say that that they were going to begin this investigation. There have not been a lot of statements since. Observers, monitors from every one of the political parties, from every one of the candidates, are allowed to sit in to watch the vote counting, which has been underway at 9 polling stations around the country. I was able to watch that they're participating very closely in the process, taking notes as it goes along. There are some pretty impressive efforts at transparency in this process. But again, you do have some candidates, particularly Yunus Kanuni, who are raising objections. The interesting thing today was that Yunus Kanuni also said that the issue of the indelible ink, which raised an uproar last week, he said that was a small issue. It wasn't really that important. Instead, he said there were other problems that eclipsed that. He said that there was evidence of tampering with ballot boxes from 4 of Afghanistan's provinces, and he said that his monitors were not allowed to accompany ballot boxes coming from refugee camps outside of Afghanistan, from Iran and Pakistan. Well, there was one UN spokesman who retorted and said that, well, your monitors did not choose to accompany those ballot boxes. We gave him that offer.
Mm-hmm. The turnout in the election was exceptionally high, which provoked two reactions, one of which was to say, great, obviously the Afghans were incredibly enthusiastic about the opportunity to vote for president. On the other hand, some people raised some eyebrows. Turnout that high? Maybe somebody is fudging and voting more than once.
Well, yeah, some of the estimates right now were of 80% of registered voters coming out for the vote, and the United Nations says that more than 10 million people registered to vote. Now, I've spoken just in the few days I've been here in Kabul with a number of people, and they all say that they've had friends or acquaintances who voted twice, or who they know of cases where children were able to go in and vote. Problems that clearly arised at the ballot boxes. However, there is no question that the Afghan population was very enthusiastic about this election, that people turned out to vote in droves in what was a historical first election for this country, and this despite months of warnings from the remnants of the Taliban, which have waged a pretty effective guerrilla insurgency in parts of the country, despite threats from them that they would seek to disrupt the elections, that they would attack voters, that they would attack polling stations. Despite these threats, people came out and proceeded to vote. So on the one hand, yes, there have been major problems, but the other hand, there is a lot of evidence of participation from the Afghan public at large.
We're talking about the Afghan presidential election with NPR's Ivan Watson, who's on the line with us from Kabul, the capital of Afghanistan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Ivan, regarding the Taliban, a lot of people said, while it was unclear who had won as yet the presidential election, it was clear that the Taliban had lost.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much something that we're hearing from both Afghan government officials, from the U.S. military here, from United Nations officials as well. All of them saying that the Taliban lost out in this, that after all of their threats, which actually prompted U.N. officials and people working for non-governmental organizations to evacuate Kabul during the election period, that despite their threats of violence and attacks, there was a remarkably small amount, low incidence of violence and attacks during the election period on October 9th. In the aftermath, there have been several incidents. Just today, there was a car that was blown up in a border province known as Paktika, where an election official was killed along with four other passengers of that vehicle. Two American soldiers were killed on Thursday in another ambush in Orduzgan province to the south of Kabul. However, all the officials I've spoken with here in Kabul, as well as independent observers, they're saying that this really was a blow to the Taliban or what's left of it, showing that they can't even mount an offensive, any kind of violence in Afghanistan's major cities, which had some of them more than 1,000 polling stations. They still couldn't mount any kind of attack on those polling stations. It shows that they just simply don't have the reach that people feared they had.
Obviously, ballots are still coming in from some particularly remote areas. Any idea when final results are expected?
The estimates I'm hearing are it could take place sometime in November, actually, when the final results can be announced. And right now, as of the end of the day today, more than 20% of the votes were counted. And we still have Hamid Karzai, according to the United Nations. He's ahead with more than 60% of the vote. His closest rival, that is Yunus Kanuni, the man who raised the objections today at a press conference, who's actually a member of Karzai's cabinet, he has more than 18% of the vote. The fact is that to prevent a runoff, somebody has to win more than 50% of the vote. Right now, it obviously looks like Karzai is likely to win that. If he wins less than 50% of the vote, then he has to have a runoff with the second place contestant.
Ivan, it's obviously arrived in Kabul to cover the aftermath of the election and the declaration of the winner, but it's been a year since you were there. What changes do you notice?
Well, I've spent most of my time here in Kabul, and there are a lot of changes. It's really fascinating to see the progression since, basically, I ran into this city with the Northern Alliance the morning after the Taliban fled Kabul. And there has been a fair amount of construction. There's a boom of construction, I could say. You've got businesses, hotels, stores, restaurants, the petty market traders who have just stalls, a table on the street. I mean, there's a massive amount of economic activity going on here that was not taking place even a year ago. The security forces here, the Afghan police, the Afghan National Army, they seem to have progressed. Their uniforms are better. They look more cleaner cut. They look like they have better weapons. I've seen Afghan army units driving American-made Humvee vehicles. That's something you would never have seen here a year ago. It's something you would not see the Iraqi army doing in Iraq, which is being trained by U.S. forces. And there is more respect of some of these institutions coming from the Afghan people as well. Respect for the Afghan security forces, people across the board saying, yes, it's our police, it's the international forces here, led in most part by the U.S., who helped secure the country during the elections. I have seen a fair amount of growth here and some progress, which is really encouraging. Of course, Afghanistan is not out of the woods. You still have the Taliban mounting attacks in the south and the east of the country, areas that I used to travel in a year after the Taliban's overthrow. Today, I would not drive down those roads for danger of attack. The Taliban have killed more than 1,000 people over the past year or so. They have successfully waged attacks, and the warnings that I'm getting from the Afghan officials now are of the threat of the drug mafias. They say that drug producers and traders, that they are perhaps the biggest threat now, eclipsing that of the Taliban to the this fledgling
Afghan
state.
I'm afraid we're out of time. NPR's Ivan Watson in Kabul. This is NPR News.